So we're talking about the salvation of the Lord. Luke chapter 2, 25. We're going to read into the theme, the text that we take, the theme we took for this conference. Luke 2, 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. I'm reading New Living Translation. He was righteous and devout and was... I'm not done with that first one. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, 26, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he has seen the Lord's what? Messiah. The Lord's what? Messiah. Mark that word. Then 27. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the Lord required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised." 30. Let's read 30 together. 30. I have what? Seen your salvation. Can you say it one more time? I have seen your salvation. Say it one more time. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for how many people? All people. 32. He is the light to reveal God. That's amazing. That's a fact. He is the light to reveal who? God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. May Sunday will be a dynamite. I'm telling you, because when I began, wow, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This glory is huge. It's huge. So, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Today we're talking about the Lord's salvation. Jesus Christ, the Lord's salvation. We live in a day, brethren, when the enemy is doing his best to cause confusion. Doing his utmost best because he knows the time is what? Short for him. To obscure the knowledge of Jesus Christ as much as he can and replace it with fake religion that looks like Christianity but is Judaism with emphasis of salvation by works. I'm telling you people, it is happening even among Christians. He's working so hard to give us what looks like, but it's not the real. And he wants to replace Jesus Christ. Focus on Christ. He wants to replace the knowledge of Jesus. And remember, the scripture says he's the one to reveal God to us. So he wants to cut us off from that light that reveals God to us. He wants to put Jesus in the back burner. And he's doing it with incredible success. He's bringing people salvation by works. And if he doesn't get you salvation by works, he will give you a mixture of grace and what? Works. At least you can manage that one. And you can hear even political authorities, presidents, powers, politicians, newsmen. What is it? Newsmen, they call them? Pressmen, media. They say it's an all-inclusive thing. So are you telling me that your own is the only one? You are a bigot. Have you heard it before? The devil is gone crazy. So if you dare say that Jesus is the only way, even in this country today, you will be persecuted on the spot. The persecution is not minor. They'll call you names. They'll try boycotting you. They'll do all manner of things, even on television. I've seen it happen. They bring pastors that control thousands and stand them in the television, look them in the eye, and say, "Tell me, Jesus is the only way." What are they trying to do to intimidate them? To deny that Jesus is the only way. And many big time pastors today don't have the courage to stand up and say Jesus is the only way. In fact, let me tell you the tragedy. In many churches today, they don't even pray in the name of Jesus again. We'll be including, they don't pray in the name of Jesus again. No. No. In fact, in many churches, even Jesus is no more mentioned. You know the hymn we sing, Amazing Grace? A pastor said to somebody in his church, he said, we don't sing that junk again. Call it junk. You see, what I'm telling you is serious. Very serious. The devil is working hard. Seriously hard. To give us, take the real and give us fake. There are people who don't even want to hear about Jesus. But he reveals God. You don't want to hear about him. How do you know God? I say, Pastor, wow, yeah. Even among Christians today. Are you saved? Yeah. How do you know? I pray. The things I used to do, I don't do them. I used to lie. I used to do this. What are they telling you? My salvation is by what? My works. There are millions. I told the pastor, I said, try it out. I said, do this. Check people that come to the office and ask them if they are saved and tell them, why do you know? I said, you hear them talk about works. I said, the quarters of Christians do not know that Jesus is the Lord. They say it, but in their heart, they don't believe it. Works are cheap. They say it. And as a pastor talking with a lot of people, I find that people are confused. Very confused. It's one of the things that boggles my mind. Somebody is a Christian for years and still doesn't understand. And you are pushing this person. Say, no, 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 no. He's pushing you this way again. Say, no, no. You realize they don't understand it. They don't know it. Praise the Lord. And then we come along and say we know. And then somebody does something and we say he's not saved. Why do we say he's not saved? Because we think salvation is by works. We have forgotten that in the house of God there are babies. In every household you are going to have what? Babies. And babies, we do what babies do. Yeah, sometimes people are not saved. Do some things. Yes, sometimes what people do can give them away, they are not saved. But we don't see the heart, brethren. We don't see what God sees. You really don't know. I'm telling the truth. You know, I told you a story here of a pastor. And this is a story. It's not made up. It's a man I know personally, that mentored me personally. He told me, he said how a sister in his church, you know, God never really got anything from God. And there was another sister, his prayer was working like that. So he felt bad. So he took it upon himself to go and ask God, what is going on here? He said, God, you know, this, my deacon, because it was a deacon, is the best woman in my church. Everybody calls her holy. And he told God that she's the most spiritual person I have in that church. He said, but her prayer never works. And then this woman that is not very spiritual, before she finishes praying, she's always sharing testimony. He said, God, I pastored them. So I want you to explain this to me. And God said, I will. And God said, I will show you what I see you don't see. So let me show you this one you say is not spiritual. He said, look at what I see. Her heart is so clean. She doesn't remember what you did to her yesterday. She doesn't fight. If she does anything bad, she'll come and apologize immediately. She doesn't waste time, not tomorrow. If you tell her you did it, before you finish it, you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, follow you around. And has no record of anything anybody did to her. The heart of a child. They say, let me see you, your, what God called her is your deacon. And God said, if she's a Christian, I don't know. And her heart is full of records of what people have done. You see what I'm saying? The pastor said, she's always in front. I don't say who's there in front. Always active. I've said it here before. Do not think that activity is Christianity. I'm begging you people. Don't think somebody has moved from front seat to back seat. Also, we say, he's not saved. Why are we saying that? Because we think salvation is by works. So we judge it by works. Again, like I'm saying, sometimes, some people who are not saved, you know from what they do. Yes, but sometimes you can't tell. Look at scripture here, Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more what? Grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Let's read it again. First Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then what? It is no more of works. Once anything is by grace, it cannot be by works no more. And he says, otherwise, grace is no more grace. It's no more merited. Once it's grace, it's something you don't get over it. You don't merit it for God's sake. And then he says, but if it be works, then it is no more by grace. Then you merit it. It becomes an entitlement. Otherwise, work is no more. So work and grace don't go. Church, I'm begging you, let God open your eyes before the devil taps you in this nonsense. He wrecks people's life like nothing I've seen. Blocks your prayer, keeps you miserable. You see God nothing. Because if you want it, it's by grace. But you want it, grace and works, you won't walk. Brethren, you won't walk. Because then you discount Jesus. Galatians 5:3-4. I will say it again, which means he has said it before. This is Paul talking. I will say it again. This is King James Version. I will say it what? Again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Let me see your hand if you've done that. That's a dead end. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, you lost your mind. The path you want to follow is an impossible path. He said, dead end. There is no man who can obey all the laws of Moses. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. Can't forget it. But then he says something, the next verse. We're reading 4 and 5, right? But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised. Can somebody say amen? Amen? So if you want to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all the laws. And nobody does that. So that leaves us with one way. Only Jesus can save. Can I hear amen? Amen. And the Holy Spirit says some things. If you are, listen to me. I want to warn us. If you are talking to people, make sure you are preaching the gospel, the truth. If you don't, if God takes it personally, it's all over the Bible. You know, I keep warning people, you people that go out and you are leaders in groups, be careful what you do. You will answer to God for any soul you destroy. Jesus said, well, better you were not what? But you will do that. You will answer to God for those you destroy. Paul was so furious that he said, anybody that preaches the gospel that's not the true gospel, he said, let me get accosted. He said it twice. So it's not like he made a mistake. He said, whether it's an angel or a human being. And when you read such things, you better be careful. Because what you teach people can mislead people. It can destroy life. I'm telling you. And the reason is because you are so proud to lie and correct yourself. It's all over the Bible. Jude was writing about such people. He said their end is that what they do. Let's be careful. I'm telling you. Let's be fair. These are the last days. If you don't know what they say, do what? Shut. It's not a question of argument. The Bible is there to read. I didn't write it. And Jude, the Holy Spirit stirred up Jude. Jude was going to discuss about salvation. He said, whoa, there's distortion in the church. The Spirit of God said, don't discuss what that. Warn the church about what is coming, what is happening. Look at that, Jude from verse 1. And a servant of Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is amplified. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and brother of James, write this letter to those who are called, chosen, dearly loved by God the Father, and separated, set apart, and kept for Jesus Christ, verse 2. May mercy, or so peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation, but I found it necessary now and was impelled to write to you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints, the faith which is that sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. For certain men now have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly, impious, profane persons who pervert what? The grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of our God, and into lawlessness, wantonness, and immorality, and disown and deny our soul master and Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. See, they've perverted the grace of God. And the result is that people are not experiencing the benefit of that grace. It's producing all this kind of. In fact, they tell people that grace will produce immorality, that they shouldn't listen to things like that. If you read New Living Translation, that is what they say. He said their destruction had been predicted longest time. They denied the master. They denied Jesus. They've sneaked into the churches. So when you talk of grace, they said it will make people commit sin. Stop that. He said their doom is coming. Because Jesus brought us grace. And what Jesus brought us, they are condemning. What the Lord Jesus brought us is what? Grace and truth. And they are condemned. Working against Christ. That spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I want to remind us the faith that was handed over to us, and we fight for it. We contend for it. We defend the gospel. It's a sacred assignment of every Christian who is born again. You must defend what? The faith. The Bible says contend. To contend is to refuse to give. Yes, it's a contend for that faith that was handed down to you. What is that faith? Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Is that correct? For which translation is this? No, I'm not reading Amplified again. This is King James Version. For by grace are you what? Saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is gift of God. It cannot be plainer than this. It cannot be plainer than this. It's a gift. A gift is what you don't merit. It's not because of you or me. And while we're at it, let me make a statement. There is no point in your life where your salvation is still not of grace. There is no point in your life where your salvation all of a sudden becomes an entitlement of what you earn. It's not going to happen. Until we see Jesus face to face, our salvation, our being delivered and set free and kept on course is an act of mercy and grace. You will never stand before God and say, the Bible said, God shut up every mouth so no man can boast. He said, if you want to boast, glory in the Lord Jesus. Can I hear amen? Amen. So when somebody comes and say, no, you are saved here, how do you know? And I don't tell lies again. He's already telling lies. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. How are you saved? Yeah. In fact, if you see, now I go to church more. I used to go to church. I used to preach. I was not saved. Didn't even know what salvation meant. But I used to preach. And after preaching, they call me and say, this man will prophesy one day. They were so impressed. And after preaching, I will take, if you tell my wife this one, both of us, I warn you, Muhammad, I will take one big stout. To wash down the summer. You know, one time we have burial ceremony in my family. And then they were entertaining the pastors in my house. In my house in the village, they were entertaining pastors. And my children have never seen, they didn't see anybody drink. Why did these people drink? Not to talk of pastors. So they ran to their mother and say, Mom! Mom! Pastor is drinking! Mom! Pastor! Pastor is drinking. They couldn't believe their eyes. They were, Mommy, come, Pastor. Their mother said, it's not us. It's our family people. We have nothing to do with it. They just asked to use our house. We gave them our house. Praise the Lord. Brethren, you must contend for this. Your salvation at any point in time, which means whatever you are getting from God is a gift to you based on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way you receive it is only by faith. You must understand this. That's why he died on the cross. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why you pray in the name of Jesus. He is the only hope of glory. Amen? And you know, God gave us, you see these things that God gave us through Christ, was even given while we were sinners. God didn't wait for us to be good before he gave Jesus. When Jesus died, he didn't die because we were good. He died for sinners. He died because we were what? Sinners. We didn't even love God. So you can't say, I earned it. No, you can't earn it. While we were yet what? Sinners. Christ what? Died for us. The godly for the godly. He called us ungodly. The righteous for the what? He called us unrighteous. So the thing wasn't done because we became awesomely good. No. While we're in the thick of sin, the righteous Son of God died for us. So that our sins will be what? Because we don't know what we are. In Luke 2:30, what we took as our text this evening. Are you following what I'm saying? In Luke 2:30, where we followed this evening. Luke 2 what? 30. Luke 2 30. If you chew your tongue, just don't call me. I have seen your what? Salvation. Can we say it again? I have seen your salvation. Do you know what he said. He said, this is the person. Without him, there is no salvation. When you say, I've seen your iPad, it means there is no other what? That is your iPad. This is my iPad. Which means, this is it. You know, Jesus introduced himself in a marvelous way. He said to Martha and Mary, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know what he said? Without me, there is what? No life. So when the Spirit of God saw this man, that is God's salvation. He said, I've seen your salvation. He didn't say, I've seen who brought salvation. He called him what? God's salvation. Which means once you have Christ, you have God's salvation. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have God's salvation. So what are we talking about? What's he talking about? Once you have Jesus, you have God's salvation. How many of you have Jesus? Then you have God's what? Salvation. Don't let any devil talk you out of that one. Amen? Amen. Acts 4:11. This is the stone. New King James Version, I'm reading. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven. Oh, man. Given among men by which we must what? There is no other. He is God's salvation. He is God's salvation. There is no other. There's no salvation in a bishop. No salvation in the man of God that you are phoning by, praying for you by phone. Do you know it's a sign of immaturity? Let me talk to you a little bit. Do you know it's a sign of spiritual immaturity? When you are running after men, you don't know that. That's what Paul wrote. He said to the Corinthians, are you not carnal and immature? He said, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. He said, you are immature. You are babies. Don't do anything. He said, we are nothing, all of us. That's what he wrote to them. He said, all of us are what? Nothing. He said, the important thing is Christ. So when you grow, you stop chasing after me and start chasing after Jesus. Immature people. Give me your phone number. You are lazy. Go and pray. Give me your phone number. Let me be praying for you. Why is his prayer superior to your own? Why? Tell me. And God is no respecter of what? So why is he intimidating you? That his prayer is, God hears him faster than you. And because you are ignorant, you give him phone number. Say, man of God is calling me. Both of you are ignorant people. Both of you. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a sister that came to this church. I think I told you this before. She said she used to have a heart issue and the thing was terrible. And they couldn't cure her here. And then she said somebody invited her. We did something here. I said she was sitting somewhere. And they said, Pastor, you stood there and described my situation. And you said, God is healing you. You said, as soon as you said God is healing you, something hit me and boom, I sat down. That was the end of that sickness. He said, Pastor, now let me tell you this story. He said, we've been going for deliverance for years. Me and my husband. And this sickness was so bad that it caused a rift between us. The marriage was going berserk. And then there was this man praying for us in Nigeria who was sending money. He said, Pastor, I can't tell you the amount we sent. He said, I will not even have the courage to mention it. He said, is it the same thing that I sat here? And 1 second, God healed me. He said, for the first time, I realized that Christianity is interesting and sweet and has no stress in it. And listen to this. He said, Pastor, you know the prophet called me again. So I gave it to him. I unloaded on him. That's what you should do. When they call you again, do what? I give you permission. Unload on them. Praise the Lord. Each time you have problem or issues, you see them flock all over you. They give you this advice, give you this advice. Check all those people giving you them. They themselves have not solved their problem. I don't even know why I went there. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm your pastor. I owe it to tell you the truth. What you do with it is your business. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. So there is no salvation in any other. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's read 18. He who believes in him is not what? But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten. He who believes in Jesus is not condemned. The Bible said, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are Christ, who walk not after the flesh. Which means you don't walk by your human thinking. You walk after the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit. You walk by revelation to know that this is true. And then verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. 20. I will explain 19 and 20 together. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Then 21. For he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done where? Leave 21 there. That 21 is not saying that you are good, that you are coming to Christ is because you are good. Because it is not the righteous that come to Christ. It is what? The unrighteous. So it's not talking about that. It says, but he who does the truth comes to the light. No, it's not saying what he's saying that you coming to the light is doing the truth. Because you come to Christ because you are a sinner. And Jesus is the truth. And the light. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? Did you get what I'm saying here? So, he who comes to the light does the truth. Does the real thing, the truthful thing, what he should do. It's not because he's a good person, but because he realized that Jesus is the light. And so he said, when he comes, put it up, 21. When he comes, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deed may clearly now be seen that they have been done in God. That this is his life. You see that this is an act of God. Done in God. Done by God. Done by the help of God. God begins to walk in his life. So when you see him, you know he's a new creature. All things. Praise the Lord. So the evil people reject Jesus because they don't want to be saved. They want to continue what they are doing. But somebody says, you know, the day I got saved, dramatic. Man, I had a Volvo in Nigeria. Volvo? You know Volvo? Makes noise. And when you come to roundabout, because the bumper is big, I'm looking for somebody to hit. Because you know in Lagos, they're always fighting for space. So I'll put the Volvo there. Waiting for you to just scratch it a little. Trouble Komoko. Trouble original. My wife must not hear this thing. And you know, I mean, a young pharmacist that's traveling abroad, what do you think is happening there? This boy is very young. I got my car at 20 something. From Peugeot to automobile. I hadn't even had my result when I got my first job. I went for an interview. 30 minutes into the interview, the professors there started to say, this guy is smart enough. He will pass. Give him the job. I got my job before my result came out, and I did pass. So, that vuvu entered my head. So when you talk of sad, when I see people preaching the gospel, I will laugh. In fact, I told one of them, I said, you have no ambition. You lack to, and when I talk to you, I don't know where those words were coming from. So you have no ambition. So this is what they are doing, giving people this. Say, listen, my father is actually king. And I preach in churches. So are you telling me I'm not a Christian? I will really abuse them. And take the track and rip it in their presence and through their face. In the university, my specialty was eating their food. Scripture Union people. Once they bring their food, I will take the meat and dare them to make trouble. That's University of Nigeria. And they will laugh and eat their food and go away. And I'll still be looking for more trouble. Can I still pastor you? Go and sit down. Why are you not the same thing with me? So when you talk of salvation, I didn't care about it. That's what the scripture says. Those who are, they don't want to come to Jesus. I didn't want to. Because I felt I was okay. But listen to this. And one day there was this woman that helped me put my wife federal service, very top federal government service officer. I was friends with her and the husband. And I came to her office and said, Ma, I'm saved. I said, I laughed. I said, saved, meaning what? God said that. So you joined them. All these weary people, all this clapping hand church, you joined them. He said, I'm telling you, you need Jesus. I said, something is wrong with your head. And I went to the husband. I said, your wife is telling me something that I can't understand. Are you aware of it? The man said, he said, look at me. He said, you know, I made first class honors. I said, yeah. He said, so I'm not the dummy. I said, yeah. He said, no, I'm a top banker. He said, yeah. He said, you know, I'm successful. I said, you need Jesus. I said, two of you. Both of you. I left their house. That's friendship stuff. But before I left, they gave me a tract. But because of, I took that tract home, I said, these people need Jesus. Been preaching. I'm a member of the committee. Truth, ask her. And then I got home. I said to my wife, I said, we need to go. We are this couple. They're going. They said that. My wife also said, she's not going. She's taking me all over this Lagos looking for a child. I'm not going again. I bet you know, it's good to marry a good woman, wife. She said, to please you, if that will make you happy, I will go. I said, yeah, let's go. And we went. And Kumuyi, W.F. Kumuyi, preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the first time, I heard the gospel. And when he was preaching, something happened to me, an experience I don't think is common. It's like something, my eyes. Except God opens your eyes, you won't know Jesus, I'm telling you. We'll talk about it. Except God, you won't know. You can read your Bible, quote it all you want to. It's like something. And my life came before me like a photograph. It was so terrible and dirty. I began to cry. I said to my wife, you mean you live with this man? I said, this man is an animal. I asked her, I said, how did you live with me? Ask her, I said, you lived with me? I'm an animal. You mean you live with this man? Oh my God, you did? I said, I apologize. In fact, it was when Kumuyi called me, the altar call. I ran to the altar and got saved. And when I came back, I started to sing. She started to sing at the same time. I've seen the Lord. I've seen the light of God. I've seen the light too. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is. We were singing it the same time. And that was when I said to her, how did you live with this animal? I began to apologize. Jesus saves. No effort. No effort. My own father told him, he said, there's something new about this boy. There's something. He said, there's something. There's something new. He said, I know him before. There's something new. And you know what that something new did? It has brought me here to pastor you. Are you being blessed here? I receive a lot of texts from people, emails from people, especially these youths. They text me, tell me how much they are being blessed, how much their life is changing, how much they are understanding this thing. Praise the Lord. So because when we come to Christ, we are no more condemned. We are saved. I say we are saved.
Amen.
I say we are saved.
Amen.
I say we are saved.
Amen.
So when people don't meet your expectations, don't condemn them and say they are not Christian. Leave it to God. Because sometimes they are babies just growing. And they will go from glory to glory. Look at what God told us to do. Romans 14:14. Romans 14:14. Accept other believers who are weak in faith. Romans 14:14. Did you see that? I'm reading, I think, New Living Translation. Romans 14:14. Yeah? Maybe that's not 14:14. But it says, in New Living, can you quickly reference it for me? Accept other believers who are weak. Maybe 14:1. Romans 14:1. 14:1, please. 14:1. Accept other believers who are what? Weak in faith. And don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Just love them. Leave them alone. Don't argue with them. Leave them alone. Accept them. Then verse 4. Romans 14:4. Romans 14:4. Who are you to condemn someone else's what? Servant. They are responsible to the Lord. So let him judge whether they are right or wrong. And with the Lord's help, they will do what is right and will receive. Say, who are you going around and judging who is saved? Say, shut up. He said, they are God's servant. They are not your servant. And they are responsible to you. And God is able to make them to stand. Put it in King James Version. King James Version. Who? King James Version. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Whose servant are they? Okay. To his own master he stands or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. For God is able to make him stand. Say, leave him alone. God will make him stand. Is it not God that making you stand?
Amen.
God will make him stand.
Amen.
It's a dangerous thing to condemn people. If you love yourself, run from it. Because with what judgment you judge, the same judgment that what? I went to somewhere to preach and they asked me a question. They said, do you preach judgment? I said, I do. I said, but let me warn you. You that want to preach judgment, remember, with the same measure you measured, is the same measure what? I say your judgment will be greater because you know about it. The man shut up quickly. They don't read those things. Say, don't be too many teachers. For your own will be what? Great. I say, if you go about judging people with the same measure you measure out, the same measure you get. And the scripture says, he that shows mercy will receive what?
Mercy.
I say, I'd rather show mercy because I need mercy every time. Praise the Lord. So there are two other things that the enemy does with the gospel. He attacks believers in the same way that we Christians condemn Christians. He condemns us all the time. Why is he doing that? He wants to mock our faith and make you lose confidence in your faith. And once you lose confidence in your faith, if your faith is compromised, defeat will follow you everywhere. Because that faith is your victory. You can be doing religious things and you won't sleep in the night, but it's all faithless stuff. Once there's no faith in it, you produce nothing. You'll be doing all manner of recommended rituals. Come do this one in the midnight, you will do AM. That's your headache. Once it's not of faith, it's sin. It's useless. So if your faith is compromised, on what do you... The Bible says, on faith we stand. If your faith is compromised, where is your shield? What shield do you have? Your shield is gone. You become very, very vulnerable. And the enemy will attack your emotions like nothing else. You will always feel unworthy, feel unacceptable, and then you start picking fault with people. But your problem is that you're emotionally distressed. A distressed person distresses everybody. Am I right? An unstable person, what does he do? Unpeople. So he comes to accuse you the same way we say, you call yourself a Christian. You know, he comes and says, you think you're a Christian, you're not saved. That's his special. You know, he mocked Jesus on the cross. Read it now. He mocked him. He said, you are the Son of God. Okay, let him come. Let that God come and save you. He was mocking him. It was the devil mocking him. So he had trusted in God. Let him save you now. Let us. He was mocking him. So he will mock you. Because you sinned, made one mistake. He will come by your bed, take a seat. Say, you call yourself a Christian? So you think you're a Christian? If you're a Christian, why did you do this? Eh? And then you cry some more. In the morning you wake up, he stayed there. Immediately you wake up, he'll put his hand and say, you remember yesterday you called yourself, and you won't pray anymore. If you want to pray, you won't believe it because you think God is angry. Oh, I disappointed. Ah! And then the devil said, that cry won't do. You need to cry more. You will lose your boldness. Am I telling lies? Your boldness will go. And you think the world is collapsing. If you come to church, your praise will not carry weight anymore. Your joy will. Because you think if you sorrow for some days, that will atone for your sin. And some people foolish enough add fasting to that. But let me tell us something. Church, listen to me. Your boldness must not come from you. Your boldness comes from Christ, not from you. Your boldness, your confidence must not come from you. That's why I'm teaching you that salvation is of the Lord. Only Jesus can save you. You can't be your own savior. You must not replace Jesus and say it is because. No. Your relationship with God is based on your faith in who? Christ Jesus, 24/7. The day you take out Jesus and interject yourself there, thinking it's you, you are out of grace. I'm sorry, but that's true. You cut yourself off of grace. Because now you don't want it by grace and mercy. You want it by entitlement. It's not coming. Let me read some scriptures to you. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may. When you sin is when you need mercy the most. That's where you need grace the most. That's where you need forgiveness the most. That's where you rush to the Father. Where mercy is what? Waiting for you. That's where you go to the Father and say, Lord, I missed it here. And God will have mercy. Do you get what I'm saying? Your boldness doesn't come from you. It comes from what Jesus did for you. And then look at Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Can we read it together? 1, 2. I didn't hear you. What gives you boldness to enter? Come on, church. Come on. What gives you boldness? I want to hear you. What gives you boldness? The devil says, you. You say, no, it's the blood. Shut up. I'll go. The devil says, you. You say, no. My boldness is by the blood of Jesus. And you go. Say, Lord, I come. I don't have righteousness. You gave me the righteousness. I trust in the blood. I'm sorry for this. Have mercy on me. And God will forgive you. Can I hear amen? Amen. I didn't hear anything. Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? You know, one time the Lord said to me, he said, if I kill you for one thing, how about all the things you got right? He said, I'm not that wicked. So if I kill you for, he said, you kill your children for one thing. Okay, for five things, you kill. Are they still not your children? When they come home, do you feed them? I didn't hear you. Well, why not say I'm not feeding you again? You feed them, right? Do they get it right all the time? But you feed them, you clothe them, you pay school fees, Oh, you are better than God then. Because God won't do the same, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. So don't let the devil deceive you about your boldness. Your boldness comes from the blood and the mercy of God. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his what? Might. It's not, it didn't say be strong in yourself. And when you begin to understand these things, listen, you will find your life changing. That holiness and things you are looking for, God will start producing it in your life. Just like that. Because you are walking in the truth. You are walking in the light. You see your life going from glory. Why? Because you are glorifying Jesus Christ. You are glorifying Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Come on, can I hear amen? If you want your communication with God to be sharp, just like that, focus on Christ and see what you see. Just do it and see. Once you focus on Jesus, the Spirit of God comes alive in your life. Because his mission is to reveal Jesus. Now you are listening. It will be easy to hear him talk to you. Cheap. But if you are not listening, you are not focusing where he wants you to focus, he will wait. If I'm talking to him, that you can look, and I'm talking to him. Then he's looking. What do you want me to do? What do? I wait. That's what the Bible says. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stop him. I wait. You wait. Until you start focusing. Then when you focus, and he said, I came for this purpose, to lead you into all the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Then that's when you acknowledge him. He will begin to direct your footpath. He will begin to direct. But not before you acknowledge it. Not before. Not before. Amen?
Amen.
I wrote to some of our pastors. I said, when you look at the light, you see more. But when you look away from the light, what happens? Your spiritual eyes goes deep. When you look at Jesus, the light of the world, you will see clearly. But when you look away from him, your spiritual eyes will go will see clearly. That's when people get confused. They don't know whether God is talking to them. They don't know anything. They're asking, how does God talk to them? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting something?
Yes.
Then the last thing I want to say is that the devil will come and tell you your salvation is in future. He will move it in future. He will make it futuristic. He said, yeah, you are saved, but the benefits are in future. Do you know what we say? We sing it. We are standing on what? Promises of God. Don't we sing it? We stand on what? It is true in a way. If we get it in proper context. If we don't get it in proper context, we will live in hope and never experience those promises. Because sometimes when we say we are standing on the promise, the natural thing is to say, I'm waiting for it to come. So God will fulfill his what? Promise. I mean, come on, am I right? That's the natural thinking when you say, I am standing. Even though it's not wrong to say I'm standing, don't misunderstand me at all. But provided you get it in the proper context, that you are standing not because God is going to fulfill it, but because it was already fulfilled. Every promise of God has been what? Fulfilled. Not one remaining. And he said, when is it available? Today is the day of salvation. Don't let the devil push it off for you and say, well, I'm waiting for God. Stop waiting. It's done already. It is what? And the Americans say, you are good to go. Tell your neighbor, you are good to go. But you know, we live in hope. We hope. We hope. Brethren, I want to tell you something before I stop. You know, I was going on my way in my house, and the Lord took me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Open to it. It's amazing. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped. Put it up. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things. So the Lord said to me, he said, you see that scripture? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He said, you people read it like I wrote there. Now, faith is the substance of things we are hoping for. He said, that's not what I wrote. He said, there's a difference between what we are hoping for and what we hoped for. He said, I know what I'm talking about. He said to me that the word hoped is past tense. He said, it's something you used to hope for until you see the substance. He said, you hoped for it. When you didn't see the substance, you were hoping. Hoped, past tense. Come on, church. Hoped for. Am I right? Past what? Tense. You hoped. You didn't know until you see the substance. You used to hope. So faith is that thing you used to hope has now become real and you stop hoping. Stop hoping. Because the scripture asks a question to us. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. Now it's talking about it's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. If you read 22, 23, you see it's talking about when Jesus comes. The salvation that's giving us the new body that Pastor Victor used to teach us. So we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is what? Seen is what? No. It means when you hope, you're hoping about things you don't see. That's not real. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. Come on, church. It hasn't what? Happened. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? Now, when you talk of faith, faith says it's a substance. It exists. It's real. Before you had the revelation, you were hoping. The things hoped for. Past it. But now you are no more hoping. Now it is real. It exists. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said to the Lord, whoa, I never saw it like that. I said, I'm telling you that. He said, the word I put there. And I went, I checked it and other things. I said, he said, hoped. He said, what is hoped? Is it not past tense? He said, yeah, before you came to faith, before the word came, before revelation came, you were living in hope. But when you saw by the opening of your eyes of understanding that, whoa, this is real. Hope ceases. Then you switch to, it becomes evidence of things that are not seen, but I can prove to you it's there. That's an evidence. Your action, your word is proving that that thing what? So when armed robbers came to my house and the dangerous people gone, they were firing everywhere. I'm telling you, blew up everywhere, frightening. And my pregnant wife said, no evil shall come nigh my what? She showed evidence that thing is real by going to bed and sleeping. When she went to bed, God took over that. For he watches over his word, perform. To those who believe the report. Immediately, I still remember it like yesterday. She was pregnant. She said, no evil shall come down my dwelling. That's the word of the living God. And she went into her room to sleep. What was she showing? Evidence. Faith is what? Evidence. That what you don't see exists. So what was the result? The robbers ran away. Because the scripture cannot be broken. Switch it to Christ. Every promise has been what? In fact, let's read it before. I don't know if I'm helping you at all. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Are you getting what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians what? 1:20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our own amen, ascending to God for his glory. So all of them. So which one do you want? It is already fulfilled. I mean 2 Corinthians 1:20. One what? For all the promise, New Living Translation. For all of God's promises have been what? Fulfilled in Christ. With a resounding yes. And through Christ, our own amen. Which means yes. Ascends to God for his glory. So if it has been fulfilled, then it exists, it is real, it is done. And all you do is extend the hand of faith and say, it is mine. It is what? And then it becomes yours. So don't work for it. Don't let the devil make you work for it. Don't let him put you on 20 days fast, 17 days fast. It is already. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
All you need to do this evening is what? So say, and when you hold it, don't lose that which you have received. Hold it fast, for there shall be a performance of what God said.
Amen.
Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Did you get anything?
Yes.
Were you blessed?
Yes.
Now, I want to use a few minutes and do what the Lord told me. He said to me, he said, the gospel is preached two ways. I said, really? He said, when you finish the word, he said, give me time to show them it's real. He said, the gospel is not just words. He said, give me time. I want to reveal myself to you by what I do. I'm like, yeah. I say, yeah. See, preaching is one side. Then I come along and I say to them, I'm here. See, that's what we were seeing on Sunday. When I was showing to your wife and the pastor said, I'm real, I'm here. And they were telling the church, it's here. You may not see visions today, but it will do something in your life. I want you to rise up and begin to worship.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.